Om Shanti, warm welcome. So today we'll have a session with Sister Jayanti revising yesterday's Murali. And later Sister Aruna will join us for a question and answer. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Usually with Avyakt Muralis, there's one very specific theme that Baba takes up. But in yesterday's Murali, it felt as if it was two themes that Baba was addressing. One was the whole subject of love. And again, Baba would come back to that subject. But also, when Baba was speaking extra slowly, did you feel that? And Baba was having lots of pauses in between the speaking. And so Baba was giving drishti. And it felt as if, again, Baba was pulling us into that experience of God's love and being able just to be merged in that love for as long as Baba was with us. So love was one big, big thing. And the other one was, of course, becoming the conqueror of the mind to be able to be the conqueror of the world. So the first one, the aspect of love. And yes, Baba's drishti was very loving, and Baba's drishti was pulling us into that experience of love. But I liked very much the fact that Baba connected the subject of becoming bodiless with the subject of Baba's drishti and love. Because that has been my experience, that when you feel Baba's love, then you're not here in this body anymore. You're totally detached from the body. You're able to be just with Baba and incorporeal Baba, but also the angel Brahma Baba. And so Baba was wanting us to spend more and more time in this experience of just being in God's love. Because if you're in that experience of God's love, then nothing is difficult, then nothing is too much, and nothing is tiring. Nothing seems to be a problem. And when you're not in that experience of God's love, then of course even little things become a problem, and there's all sorts of issues that can come up. But stay in God's love, and everything is easily resolved. No big deal about anything at all. Because you've been given power. You've been given a blessing. You've been pulled up into another stage in which Baba's able to help you stay up above all the other things that are going on down below. And Baba also is very much focused on sharing blessings with us. Baba used the word blessings many, many times. And in the first instance that Baba was seeing the three aspects of blessings that every soul has. One, the ones who found Baba and have been found by Baba. The experience of godly sustenance. And so that's the first blessing. God the Father, and through that experience, being able to be sustained just by one alone. And the second, the sustenance through the teacher and the blessing from the teacher, that of an elevated study. And I was curious as to why Baba kept using this word blessing. And the word blessing actually indicates that something comes to you, something happens to you, which you'd never imagined, but also it comes very easily and naturally without any effort on your part. And so, for example, coming to Baba, the mother, the father, and Baba immediately starts to sustain you in a very beautiful way. Sustenance is for us spiritual sustenance, which Baba gives us every day anyway. But also, how many of you live in a center? Some. Well, certainly for those in centers, it's very easy to absolutely feel that I'm being sustained by God because you're there and Baba's looking after you. But even those who don't live in a center, who live outside, Baba's often said how you too are being sustained by God. Whatever it is you're doing in Baba's remembrance, you're doing it for Baba. Whichever job it is you do, it's with the awareness that it's for Baba. The money that you earn, usually you say, oh, this is for Baba. The sacrifice of people living outside when they say that everything is Baba's is very big. My car is not my own. My car belongs to Baba. There's this consciousness that so many of you have in which you'll say, well, it's Baba who's given me this. Baba has done this for me. And so that sustenance from God is very real in your life. And then this elevated study. In India, one of the things about karma is that they say that if a child is fortunate, yes, they have good parents, a happy family, they have a healthy body, they always associate that with karma. If they've got a good home, that's also good karma from the past. But also, if they have a good intellect, they would say that it's a blessing from God. Because you can't give somebody an intellect. Whatever intellect it is they're born with, well, that's what they have. And so usually education and study is very much connected with karma and good fortune. And so for all of us, being able to study the highest knowledge in the way that Baba has explained to us in the Sakar Murli today, people study and they can learn to go beyond the stars to the sun and the moon. Not yet the sun, the moon. But Baba's children, they study Raj Yoga and they practice that. And Baba's enabling them to experience a world which is beyond the sun, moon and stars. A very, very beautiful home, which is our home. So today Baba's comparison of the power of science and the power of silence. And yes, they've studied and so they can reach the moon. But you're studying and the power of silence, which is your study, that power is enabling you to go beyond the sun, the moon, to the subtle dimension, to be with Baba and to take everything you need from Baba. So, very interesting connection that Baba made about elevated study and how that is good karma, but also yesterday's Murli, that elevated study is your blessing from God. And the third one, it was that God is giving you the blessing of may you have all blessings. I thought that was again very sweet, that somebody can give you one blessing, somebody can give you two blessings. But here's God saying, may you have the blessing of all blessings from the Supreme. And so is there anything that's missing in our lives at all? Then we know Baba and we know who he is and we know what his task is. That's it. We don't need anything else at all. Everything is known. Everything has been experienced. Everything has been attained. So really nothing else to be attained. I have absolutely everything. So no desires. Usually when there's one desire, you fulfill it and there's another and another and another. But Baba say, you don't need to have any desires. I'll give you everything. I'll fill you with all my blessings. And so that was one very specific line that caught my attention. And then the main subject of the Murli, be the conqueror of the mind, and then you'll be the conqueror of the world. The mind, the most powerful instrument that can exist in terms of its speed, in terms of its capacity. There isn't another instrument like this in the world. We've got AI, but I don't think AI has come up to the awareness of what the soul is and how to be able to use that awareness in the best possible way. And so here's Baba telling me that just as you're able to control your physical senses and your physical organs, what you have to do is to be able to control your mind. It's simply one of your organs. We usually use the word faculty, one of the aspects of the soul. But in that awareness that I am the master, then when I have this control over my mind especially, then I'm always going to be happy. Baba spoke about happiness in a number of different ways. When Baba was talking about a blessing for all of us, again the word blessing came in. Baba said that I'm giving you the blessings of being able to take such power and become the embodiment of power so that you can control your mind. But also, I'm giving you the blessings of being constantly happy. And so that was in the body of the Murali. And then, of course, Baba giving us blessings in many, many ways. But it's true that when I have that experience of being the master of my mind, then I'm the master of my moods, I'm the master of my feelings, I'm the master of my emotions. And so it's very much connected with today's subject, because today we were going to be looking at how it is that we are able to manage things in terms of the mind and what's the result of that. So happiness, when I'm the master of my mind, the result of that is happiness. And so Baba took up happiness in a few different ways also. So can I experiment and make it a practice of being able to not just take my mind above and beyond, but also to be able to put a brake on my thoughts, to be able to put a full stop whenever it is I need to or I want to. Because waste thoughts, Baba mentioned how waste thoughts really are a drain. They're a drain on your time, they're a drain on your energy, they're a drain on everything, your physical energy too. And so can I practice and develop the habit of actually checking, why am I having waste thoughts? What you'll probably find is that there's a trigger, and that trigger can be pushed by anyone, anytime. I don't know. Maybe they don't know me, and so they think, say things that are distressing for me. But even those who know me, and they still say things that I don't like. If I'm going to ruminate on that, keep thinking about that the whole time, then my life is not going to be a very happy one. There was a very interesting comment from Daddy in the little message that many of us receive each morning. And in today's message, she's saying that if I'm having critical or negative thoughts about others, then I'm punishing myself. Because, of course, it's going to take away my happiness immediately. But also, she said, then you're causing sorrow to the other. You've taken sorrow, which is wrong. You're punishing yourself, but then you're also causing sorrow to another. And then, because they're upset with you, they're going to come back with something that's still not very nice. And so, if I want to be free, then I have to put a full stop. If I'm hearing things that I didn't want to ever hear, but I evaluate them. Is it useful? Is it necessary? Is it true? And if I've evaluated a conversation and then I want to report it to somebody, whether in a newspaper report or in writing or on a video or something, let me ask myself these questions. If I'm being critical, if I repeat that to somebody, is it useful for them to know this? Most times it's not. Not even useful for me to be thinking about it, let alone putting it across to somebody else. So I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting somebody else's time, but also I'm wasting my energy, not just in terms of the waste thoughts at that moment, but I'm wasting my energy in terms of the power I've accumulated, and the longer I give myself in terms of waste thoughts, the more energy I'm losing continually all the time. And so very, very important lesson from Baba. Learn to be the master of your mind so that you truly take charge. Your hand isn't going to lift just like that. There's an order from the mind and intellect to the sanskaras, and the sanskaras then come into action, and all of it gets played out on the practical level. And so can I make sure that the starting point of my thoughts is such that they're powerful thoughts, pure thoughts, not wasteful thoughts. Wasteful thoughts will have no result because it's just hot air. It's floating around. There's going to be no outcome. And so it's a very good test point. If I'm having a lot of thoughts about something and it's not actually happening, well, it's not yet time for it to happen in drama. But I mustn't get upset about it. If I get upset that nothing's happening, then of course I'm draining myself of more energy. And even where it's not a question of my time, but somebody else's time, then can I make sure that I don't cause them waste thoughts either, because otherwise that burden is also going to impact me. And so can I practice putting a full stop? And if I do it really regularly, I'm able to catch myself so that then things don't just go off. I'm able to be in charge. The other thing that Baba spoke to was that whole group that had come, VIPs who had come to meet Baba at the invitation of the sisters and Baba also. Baba would often tell people, next time if you bring a group of VIPs, Baba will come and meet them. That season has now gone, but at least at that time it was still there. And in that, the two things that Baba highlighted were Baba telling them, you're at home. Do you feel at home? And then Baba's comment that some are even putting up two hands, not just one hand, feeling very comfortable, feeling very much at home. But Baba also gave them a task. When you leave here, whatever you've taken, share that knowledge with every individual you meet, or share to whatever extent is possible, so that no one remains who's going to complain that nobody told me. It's interesting how there can be a group of people, and you're specifically speaking to a few people, but everybody hears it. But when it's a responsibility, they won't all hear it. They'll think you're speaking only to the few people who are the instruments for a particular task. But in fact, if I'm being told something and I'm in a gathering, then it's for me also. And so Baba reminding them that whatever it is you've taken, share that with others so that they can benefit also. But for each one personally, Baba was also reminding them, stay happy and share that happiness. And then Baba speaking to the double foreigners, and Baba mentioning that Baba's giving us double love because he sees us as the double effort makers. And it's come up a few times recently, double effort, double effort. And my own thoughts about it is that Baba's asking us, A, to do what is needed according to Srimad in that external level, but B, what's my internal stage, my inner consciousness, which is going to make this doubly worthwhile. So it's not just effort on one level, but it's effort on the external level, but more importantly, it's effort on the inner level. For example, the Murali. Yes, I'm supposed to come and hear the Murali every day. I need to go to class. So has it become a ritual in which I'm just going to class because I'm supposed to? Or is it, yes, the physical effort of going to class, but also that inner effort of coming to the awareness of who it is I'm going to be meeting, who is it that's going to be giving me the lesson? Do I have that awareness? And so for me, double effort means the physical manifestation of the effort of Srimad, but also the spiritual aspect, which means keeping that highest consciousness in terms of whatever it is that's going on. And the other thing Baba mentioned was how service abroad has been increasing and will continue to increase, which of course it's been happening since that time. 11 years ago, Baba spoke that Murali. But also Baba mentioning that all of you are very focused on your own inner effort. And I think it's true that for the most part, Baba's children abroad, they're really focused on the study. They're really focused on having good yoga. I don't see many who just do it superficially. I see that the most of them are really focused on that. So Baba always acknowledges that all of you are very good effort makers. And another sentence that caused my attention. Baba talking about whatever it is you give attention to, that's going to be fruitful, successful. But don't let there be any tension in the attention. Because sometimes we're so attentive, we're very focused, but it's pressure. No, don't do anything with pressure. Do everything with love. And it'll then be fine. It'll be working out very easily. So those were the... And again, with Karnataka, Baba telling them, make sure that there's no one who complains at the end, I didn't know, I didn't hear it. I think in India with the media, they have so much coverage, peace of mind on channel, all the other things that go on in Madhuban programs, so Madhuban channel. There really can't be many who would say they've not heard about the Brahma Kumaris. But of course, you're not yet saying that it's Shiv Baba's work, it's Shiv Baba's Gyan. It's still at the stage where it's very much the Brahma Kumaris. It's okay. So we've come this far, but that step further to go. So Baba again reminding us of the next steps, which is beautiful because we're in Madhuban, you're content, you brought the results of whatever you've done last year, but now the inspiration from Baba to do your best for the coming year. And so that, yes, I've done what Baba asked me to do in terms of all the logistics, but now can I really do it with that love? That's so that then souls actually are touched and come close to Baba and wanting to surrender, belong to Baba totally. I think that we need to increase maybe the fire of love within each one of us so that that begins to happen. I'm sure it'll happen. If Baba has said it'll happen, it'll happen. So that for me was the summary of yesterday's Murali. I'm going to invite Sister Aruna onto the stage because she's going to be conducting the second part.
Om Shanti. So thank you, Sister Jayanti, for being with us despite your cold. And yeah, a warm welcome to all those who have come. And for those who have been here, I'm sure you've taken lots of benefit. So I have the honor today to be with Sister Jayanti. And you have touched upon many of the questions that I have. But a few of us were discussing the Murli, and maybe we could just go a bit deeper into it. So one of the points also Baba mentioned is that because of this deep love and becoming merged in that love, love-lean stage, we're able to become bodiless. So could you explain how that works? And then, gentlemen, just in general about love, Baba talks about love, and Baba says we all have love. But there has to be, I feel there has to be a certain temperature of love that we have to get to. Everybody has love, whether it's 2 degrees, 10 degrees, 50 degrees. But it's almost like, you know, when that heat or the boiling point, let's say, when the water gets to that boiling point, then that transformation happens. So here too, there must be a certain kind of love that we need.
My experience is that when I feel Baba's love, then it's as if the soul's not conscious of the body anymore, but I'm in that stage of just I, the soul, the bodiless stage that Baba spoke about, because it isn't Baba's love on a physical level, it's Baba's love on a deeply spiritual level. So Baba's love is pulling the soul out of the limitations of the body and the consciousness of the body. So that for me is, I'm sure all of you have also experienced that. But the other aspect of the temperature of love, it's true. We belong to Baba and we're not going to go anywhere else. We're going to stay with Baba, so that's a guarantee. But can I allow that love to increase in terms of the passion? And so when it gets to that stage where I'm really passionate about Baba, I'm in love with Baba and I feel God's love for me and I'm receiving that love and I'm sharing that love with others too, then I know that that stage is a stage in which the fire of love is now really good. And then a stage in yoga where it's only Baba and there's total and absolute connection, and it's the fire of love, it's the fire of yoga. And that's when sins get incinerated. It doesn't happen by a wishy-washy love. It doesn't happen by love that comes and goes, or love that's going in one direction or the other direction from time to time. But absolutely immersed in that fire of love. And in that stage, yes, definitely, I know that this is the highest stage that's going to burn away all the sins that I've been carrying.
So what is the passion? What is the passionate love? Is it you just apply yourself to Baba's work? How are you understanding that passion phase?
I'm using the term passion in which it's like it's absolute, it's focus, and there's nothing else in my awareness or consciousness. And so in yoga, you're able to feel that it's only Baba, and Baba is everything for me, that's it. There's nothing else that I want. And so that's the passionate love I'm talking about.
So this could be even like any contact soul, or like somebody who doesn't reach that tapasvi stage, but could also just have a lot of love and be willing to do something, right, for God?
A contact soul is, if they've been looking for God, looking for truth, and they come into contact and they feel something from us, from our stage of love, it's a very mild stage in which they're feeling that there's something different here and we're getting something. And at all your centers, I'm sure that there must be people who feel that Baba's house is something more than a church or a temple or anywhere, and so they keep coming. It's a love that's pulling them. But only when you actually study and understand who is God and understand what is yoga and you practice that, are you able to get to that stage of the love that's able to purify and cleanse. So I think the others are still a bit far from that.
I was also like thinking of Rumi, somebody like Rumi who was so much in love with God and passionate about God. So that's kind of where I was coming from. So you're saying that it's only BKs who understand soul consciousness, God consciousness, can really have that union and feeling of real love, right?
Yes. Yeah. A person like Rumi or other Sufi people or other mystics through the years, Christian mystics, they've had the feeling of God's love because of their intense devotion, intense bhakti. But they've not been able to define it. They've not been able to explain to another person how to reach that stage. And the difference here is that Brahma Baba had that experience of powerful love in which he surrendered everything instantly. But the dadis were able to also then understand what are the steps so that then we can experience that powerful love. And so for them then it was not just Shiv Baba, but it was God and also Brahma Baba. And they felt that total love that made them want to surrender. And then the dadis have been the instruments to teach all of us what is God's love. So it's a way in which it's been passed on and the energy is multiplying. But Rumi is one alone. And I don't see anyone following in the footsteps of Rumi.
Rumi too.
Right.
Yeah. So just before I go to the next question, so Chitraben is walking around the hall. So if anyone has a question, you may pass it in writing to her, please. Yeah, just give her a piece of paper. She'll pass it to us then. So actually, yeah, so gentlemen, this is another topic we were talking about last night that we won't open it up generally, but since you've raised this subject of it's only Baba and the content that Baba shares with us, so many people talk about other spirits coming, and spirits can also be positive spirits who are guiding, and there are many BKs who listen to other, let's say, voices. But here you're saying that you go by the content, like Shiv Baba giving us step-by-step methodology of how to do, what to do, and that is a sure sign that it's God. Do you want to add anything else to that?
When there have been other spirits coming through, to the best of my knowledge, and I've met many, many people who've either been channeling or others who have received messages, and it's very loving, and it's talking about morality and good things, but it's not giving you specific information about soul or God or karma philosophy or why things are the way they are in the world today. And so there are good spirits, but not necessarily giving any jnana as such. The other thing is that sometimes I heard Daddy speak about how if someone's in contact with somebody who they feel is a higher spirit, she says, well, maybe it's not a higher spirit, but maybe at that moment they're in touch with their own higher self. And so we know it from human experience, when I'm feeling upset with something, then my thinking is really here. And when, even as an ordinary human being, I'm feeling good about everything, my thinking is a little bit higher. And so some are able to get into that altered consciousness in which they're able to connect with something very deep within themselves, and so what's coming out is very beautiful. But it's their own higher spirit rather than someone else coming through them.
Okay, thank you. We'll stop there on that. Otherwise, yeah, it's a real web. So the other thought, Jenti Ben, regarding the conquering of the mind. See, when I see my hand, I can see it's my hand. But when it's my mind, I feel I'm the mind. It's hard to detach from the mind. One, you can't see it, that's one thing. But the other is that because of the way Baba's taught us, I am the mind, intellect and personality. So it's difficult to create that distance. So again, how to talk to the mind? And if so, then who is talking to the mind? The mind is talking to the mind?
in a stage of soul consciousness, I'm in that feeling, in that experience of I, the soul, then I can watch my mind. Where are my thoughts going? Are they going here or are they going there? And when I catch myself, when I watch myself and I catch myself, I'll make sure that my thoughts are not going here, they always go up above. So in that stage of deep soul consciousness, the detachment is even detachment from my thoughts and feelings and emotions. Yeah. So I am not the mind in the sense that I'm more than just the mind. And in that stage of soul consciousness, I'm totally aware of all aspects of myself. But now what I'm trying to do is to make sure that I learn to discipline the mind with love, bring it back on track, so that I don't have to keep watching it all the time. If the mind is on track and it stays on track for some days and then a week, maybe more, then I know that, yes, it's going to behave properly, it's going to stay on the right track.
Is that clear for everyone? Yeah? Yeah. Lovely. So yes, this aspect of using blessings. So again, there's many stories in bhakti too where somebody was blessed but they didn't quite know how to use the blessing. They didn't know quite how to apply the blessing. So we are all blessed, Jyantiben, but we all have our karmic accounts that get in the way. And no matter how much you're trying to push through, the question is really, can blessings conquer everything? That's the essence. Yeah.
If I take that blessing as something for myself and I use that blessing, yes, definitely. Baba spoke about today, Baba's giving you the blessing of being the conqueror of the mind by having your Shakti form. And so if I keep that in my consciousness and I maintain my Shakti form, then it becomes a blessing. Automatically, I'm going to have power over my thoughts. So the trick about the blessing is that I have to keep remembering it. I can't just say, oh, I've been blessed by Baba, and so this is going to happen automatically. Unlikely. It's going to more likely happen if I've reminded myself of that blessing.
So is it also fake it till you make it kind of thing? Like you don't feel it, you're not there, but you have to keep reminding yourself of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fake it till you make it. Is that?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So every blessing card we get, we just assume that we are that, right? Like try to live by that.
I wouldn't say that I assume that I have it already. This is the indication from Baba. This is what Baba is giving me. Now, am I ready to practice it? Am I ready to use it in my life and make it belong to me? So I think that, especially with the sentence that Baba spoke yesterday, Baba is giving you the blessing of becoming the conqueror. Now, if I sit back and I think, oh, Baba's giving me that blessing, so it's all going to be fine, and next minute somebody says something and I go in a spin and come down, well, it's not working. But I can't complain it's not working because Baba gave it to me, but I did nothing with it. So Baba's telling me, you're the embodiment of power. And yes, you can be the one who controls the mind totally. Now, something happens. Can I instantly remember Baba's blessing, embodiment of power, stay quiet, stay peaceful, and more than likely the situation will work out okay. But if I haven't remembered that, and then afterwards I say, Baba, why didn't you make it okay? Baba will say, well, you didn't do what I wanted you to do.
Hmm. Okay, thank you. And then regarding the double effort maker, I heard what you said, and just maybe if I could add, do you think it could mean that because double foreigners have to cross different walls, as Baba says, diwaron ko paar karke aaye hain, and so that's double effort, that one is their own culture and then crossing over to another culture, could that also be double effort, that they're trying to merge with something that's foreign to them?
Double effort is definitely a fact, that from a different culture coming into Brahmin culture is double effort. People coming from an Indian culture, many of the things that we go through, even offering a bhog, on the one hand, the West has a system of Thanksgiving, but that's once a year. And here, in many families, many households, they would actually offer bhog every day in front of their deity in their little temple at home. So coming to Baba and seeing that there's bhog to be made, bhog to be offered, it's not such a big difference. But I'm talking about a very external thing, but something that people find a little bit different. So yes, to get accustomed to some of the things takes more effort. And so double effort in that sense, I really have to be determined that this is what I want to do. But again, I want to bring in this aspect of the inner attention. Why is Baba asking me to do this? If I go back onto the spiritual context, not just the external physical context, but the internal spiritual context, then that's double effort.
Yeah, so I heard that, but then I was thinking, the Bharatvasis also have to make that effort. So what is it? What is different about the double foreigners? Because every Brahmin has to make internal and external effort. So that's why I was thinking, is there anything extra? Yeah.
But there's many things about Brahmin life that would be part of the traditional system. Modern Bharat is Bollywood, and traditional systems have got thrown out. But like, for example, in a family, people would actually pray together in the morning. People would actually, again, in the evening, come together to have spiritual conversation or a reading from the scriptures or something like that. Mm. So in that way also, I feel that people from Bharat who live abroad, again, they don't have those traditions anymore. And so for them also, it's double effort.
Mm.
And the Bharat of today, if you meet the young people, anyone under 30, and I'm talking about young, not just 20s, but anyone under 30, and forget about the color of skin or even their accent, you're talking to a young person in the West. You're not talking to a person who's been brought up with Indian culture. So that double effort is even for Bharatvasis, yes. Mm. For double foreigners, because for them it's also a bit more effort.
Mm. So my sister-in-law calls her sons coconuts because they're brown from the outside but white from the inside. Like white attitudes, white people's attitudes. Okay, so from my side then, just this last question of Manjeet Jagatjeet, which is where Baba's saying, you conquer the mind and... Thank you. Okay, thank you. So you conquer the mind and you conquer the world. So I kind of understand that once you've made a decision in your mind, then nothing can stop you. So in that sense, you've conquered the world. But what is your take on that?
For me, it means that whatever the world throws at me, I won't be pulled down by it. I can stay up above and conquer whatever it is that's coming my way, whether it's elections, whether it's climate change, whether it's the economy. But my stage of being the conqueror of mind means that I'll always look at things from a positive perspective and put them in terms of gyan so that they don't bother me and impact me. And I'm surprised at how many people get bothered by elections. Early days while Baba was Sarkar, nobody would think about elections. Nobody would think about voting even. And now I know that in some countries it's absolutely illegal. If you don't vote, you have to vote. But in many countries like India and Britain, you don't have to vote. You should, but you don't have to. Why I'm mentioning this is because I'm seeing that, you know, after the results of the US election, not just Americans, but people from across the world are very concerned and very bothered about what's going to happen. And yet, if you look at it from Baba's perspective, drama is accurate. The right players are in the right places, and whatever they're going to do is going to be further part of God's plan. And so conquering the mind means always being able to use my mind in a positive direction, even though the circumstances of the world and my own personal circumstances may be difficult.
Suddenly there's an avalanche of questions, so I'll just try and group them, if that's okay. So one of the first questions, Jayanti Ben, there's about three questions on the subject of Amrit Vela. So what do you practice, how do you practice, practical tips on how to sit for Amrit Vela?
You know what, I think there should be a whole class on that topic. Whose questions were they? Are you still going to be here around for the next few days? If you're here for the next few days, then I could recommend that Didi Sudesh takes that up.
Yeah. Okay. But would you like to add something for now? Would you like to say something now?
Just to say one thing. That
so at least tomorrow, I'm with Vela.
Yeah. Whatever you've done today, That's going to determine the quality of your Amrit Vela the next day. So practice soul consciousness through the day, and your Amrit Vela is definitely going to be much more powerful and rich. So try that.
And then there's a few questions around this topic of how do I know that yoga is burning my sins or yoga is transforming my old sanskars? So that's another question, a few questions similar.
Well, the change of sanskars means a change of behavior, because that's what sanskars are. They're the pattern of my behavior. And so if I notice that my behavior is changing and I get the certificate of that from others, then I know that, yes, I'm on track, that I am having the quality of yoga that I need to bring about change. Otherwise, if I just carry on with my sanskars and I say, well, what can I do? This is how I am. This is my habit. Well, where's the yoga? But when there's yoga, then it means it burns away the sins, it takes away the alloy, and so the pure sanskars are then there.
Nowadays, to be kind is better than truth. So to make another similar or better than myself would be a battle within, or could lead to be away from harmony of sanskars. So I'm not sure what the question is, but what I can take from that is...
I made this statement about kindness better than truth last week, I think. And what it's coming from is where I say, this is absolutely right. And I'm challenging another person, and they're not understanding it. And I know this is true, what I'm saying, but if I'm pushing for that and they're not ready to accept it, then I'm going to break the relationship. And so at that moment where I know that it's difficult for them to understand this today, well, let me just be kind. And then further on, there'll come a moment when I can explain the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in that context.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. A couple of questions around drama, and if you could explain the connection between sanskar, karma, and drama. And they've pointed arrows.
Sanskars, karma, and drama.
Mm.
What's inside is the sanskars. It gets expressed as my actions. And those actions lead to a development of circumstances and situations, and I'm calling that drama. But it's actually a direct reflection of what's going on in here. So say, for example, I know that when I eat something, I suffer from pain or headache or whatever impact it has. So, but my sanskar is that I like that thing, and so I eat it. And so my sanskars are motivating me to eat it, even though I know that it's not useful. And that karma of eating it, then I say, you see, it was in the drama. I knew it was going to happen. It was going to be pain. But I knew it already. And so I should have had the power to say no to whatever it was. And so whether it's coffee that's causing me a problem that I can't overcome my habit, or whether it's my habit of being impatient, that's also creating a drama every single time I use that sanskar, but it's my karma that's created the drama. So when I understand that, then I know that if I want drama to be different, I have to change myself and my sanskars.
Mm.
Otherwise, the same pattern is going to keep coming up.
Right. So somebody's asking, are thoughts also part of the drama?
Definitely. Because our thoughts are coming from our sanskars, and our thoughts are leading to the karma. So if you think about the image we use for, the graphic we use for Atma, for the soul, from sanskara come thoughts, from thoughts come actions, and that's out there, manifest, and then that's the drama. And so definitely thoughts create the drama.
Mm. But also maybe if I could add, gentlemen, when you talked about sanskars, that's your personal habit, but also the way you respond or react, whether with love or bossiness or rudeness, then that also creates two different dramas, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have a choice each time.
Yeah.
I can choose whether I'm patient and loving or whether I'm reactive and irritated.
Mm-hmm.
So I can change my drama.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not understanding this question. Somebody's written in blue ink, light blue ink. Well, all of you have, but this is I'm not understanding that. Baba gives us an elevated mission of revealing Baba. How will we do it? Could you elaborate on it? And actually, it's a person who's from the Middle East, so maybe that might have something to do.
I'm not hearing you very clearly.
Baba gives us an elevated mission of revealing Baba. How will we do it?
Through your life. Your lifestyle should be, Baba uses two words, chera, chalan, your face and your behavior. And so these two things are the way to reveal Baba. When people see you behave differently, the way that everybody else is behaving is Kali Yuga, and your responses, your behavior is something else, it definitely arouses curiosity, and they ask you, well, how come you are different? And you can tell them, it's Baba.
Sorry, not understanding. The English is not very clear. Yeah. Maybe you can just share one of your experiences of kind of having a loving, lovely in stage. What did you feel when you were in love with Baba?
Baba's srishti has always been one of magic for me. And it's been one in which I've always experienced a lot of love. And so today, even sitting in Baba's room and taking drishti from Baba, you'll feel Baba's love for you. And in response, your own love will emerge in your own heart. And so when Baba says, in bhakti they remember going beyond with a glance, I think that's what it means. Just a glance from Baba, drishti from Baba, and it liberates the soul from all the other things that are holding it down. The body consciousness, whatever circumstances you're in, but just take drishti from Baba and let that love emerge, and definitely you'll feel that love for Baba also. And the second thing is gratitude. Appreciating what Baba has given me. I know there's a whole exercise of gratitude, and I won't go into that now. Many of you know about it. But just in little things, something that is good that's happening, thank you, Baba. Because whatever is good, drama is benevolent, Baba is benevolent, and I'm fortunate that I'm with Baba. So drama is moving in the right way. And so every step, just thank you, Baba. And that feeling of closeness to Baba, which then allows you to have a very personal relationship with Baba and experience Baba's love, will keep growing.
And just last question, how to, from the sheets, how to speed up our efforts.
Can I remember the times when I've had good yoga? And can I replicate that? That's one way to speed up my effort. Another way is, can I really practice something from the Murali every single day? And we love the Murali, and we note down points, and we love all the new things that are of realization for our intellects. But can I practice what Baba has said today. Very much a speeding up of efforts. And the third thing that Baba's talked about often through the season, can I be a bestower? Can I really just simply give without an expectation of some return? And maybe it's a smile, maybe it's a few minutes of your time, maybe it's a realization you've had that you want to share with another. So give something. And in that moment of giving, you'll feel Baba's presence, and that will also accelerate effort.
To come out of my selfishness and self-centeredness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So thank you everyone for listening. And now we move into the third phase, right, of Toli and Blessings. We're going to have meditation now for a minute.
Shakti Bhavan's very fortunate because the people from Bharat, they used to bring many tolis and things when Daddy was around, but they still do that. And I think maybe it's because Hansaban's always so welcoming in Shakti Bhavan, they continue to bring a lot. And so this time we got lots and lots of banana chips. And so then Hansa, she herself actually sat down to make little packets so that it would be easy to distribute. So she sent packets of banana chips for all of you. So it's vegan, it's dairy-free, it's gluten-free. I don't know what oil it's been fried in, though.
So, yeah, let's have a minute's meditation, and then I guess you'll come up this way and come off that way. Thank you. Om Shanti.